everyone. Welcome to Writer's House. Hope you are all safe and well. Today, we're going to talk about the chaos at Stamford Bridge, where Chelsea beat Manchester United, Alexi McAllister's angry goal, and much, much more. And my guests are Mayowa Quadri and Carl Anker.
we're all giggling because
I'm sorry about that.
We're all giggling. So. Was,
you know what? That's not rehearsed. As soon as I said it, I don't know how I feel. I don't know how I feel because it was amazing for me
Bridge and at full time. I mean, flowers to you. You were on Chelsea social yesterday. That was tremendous to watch. But there was a moment just after full time where I found you. And we just did that. We just laughed at each other.
What was that?
You just laughed and hugged each other.
Can I just say, it was a game when it started and they went 2-0, I was like, yes, man. And I'm thinking for Man United fans, no, man.
Yeah, yeah.
But for that game to swing like it did, I'm telling you, when it went to 2-1 at that stage of the game as well, that late in the half, I'm thinking, bro, it's a stupid one to give away. There's not enough experience in the Chelsea side for a start, man. How are you going to be at that stage of the game, not going in at 2-0.
That's one of the funniest 45 minutes of football you will ever see in your life.
We're going to start with Chelsea, right?
Yeah.
Do you know what my biggest mistake yesterday was? My biggest mistake yesterday was I fell for it.
I actually believed it.
Oh my gosh.
When it got to 2-0, I thought something's happening. And it's so...
what made you feel something's happening? Because when you look at the players they've got, something should be happening. But why in this game you said it's happened, it's clicked?
Because the football, the passage of play, Gallagher scoring the goal, we got the penalty. Cucurella and Mudryk were cooking this nice little two-piece.
Yes.
I don't know what they were cooking, but it smelled good.
Yes.
The flavours, the aromas were great. And then what people don't realise about that first goal is, everyone's talking about Caicedo, but if you want to sum up where these two teams are, does anyone remember what Bruno Fernandes does? He just absolutely spoons the ball.
Yep.
It flies up into orbit. Mm. And somehow, I think it's Antony, manages to keep it in. And then Caicedo just goes, you know what? Well done for doing that and saving Bruno. I'm just going to let you go through and goal.
Yeah. And then the ball gets thrown through to Garnacho. Yes. Garnacho gets the goal. That's how you give a go ahead. I describe that game like two drunk men outside a nightclub just throwing haymakers at each other, trying to get into a cab home. And you just stood there going, what are you doing?
You know what's beautiful about it? It's the way Garnacho took it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It was really good simply because you're feeling like, what are you doing, Man United? Bam, the quality. You just see the quality and the capability of this team. You know, and when he scores that, I'm thinking, wow, yeah.
Entertainment.
Yeah, yeah. Because I thought that people would talk about how bad it was. But like, it was so entertaining and there's so much quality on show, but so much chaos, so much, how can I say, like openness. How can you be this open?
These are two teams that they want to play in a 3-1-6. So they want to get both their fullbacks forward, both their wingers forward. You've got your one defensive midfielder who's just stood by the center circle going, lads.
Yes.
Lads.
Whoa, someone.
So the two or three moments where, you know, Conor Gallagher's bombing forward, Enzo's bombing forward and Caicedo has stood there going, hang on. Can anyone help me
here?
Where did everyone go?
Yeah, where did everyone go? And then on the United side, Casemiro's bombing forward. Bruno Fernandes is bombing forward. So you've got a teenager in Kobbie Mainoo going, lads, what's going on?
We didn't do this at my under 18 level.
So central midfield is gone. And it's just, Eric Ten Hag said he didn't want games to become like a tennis match. He said, if we want tennis, we go to Wimbledon. Wow. But your head was going like a tennis match, just left, right.
Yeah,
left,
it was.
Right. What you counter.
And there's play, like, you see, like, even you're looking at Casemiro, obviously Caicedo, I started to feel for him. I was nervous for him, you know, but like when Ali McCoy's described how easy it was to watching Casemiro run back to in respects of like trying to put pressure, was you're thinking they've gone. It's over for United. This is when it was 2-0.
2-0, there was a moment where Nicholas Jackson skinned Casemiro.
It just
by the centre circle.
Started in ball rolls, right?
And then Casemiro's just come back from a hamstring injury. And you know, Ian, you must have had hamstring injuries. Is there a moment where you're going, I can't quite go.
You know
100%.
What? But the way he was running was it was a jog, man.
It's like gingerly, isn't it?
Yeah, it was very ginger, but it was like, it wasn't like, there's no, his face didn't change like, no, I'm not going to, he was just running back.
Do you know, that's so funny.
It was really weird to watch.
You know, the battle between Antony and Cucurella.
Yes, which is brilliant.
Every time they ran, you saw bobbing heads. Yeah. They were giving everything. Casemiro was still kind of like relaxed shoulders.
Yeah.
Body upright. Yeah, it wasn't as much as an impactful run. But car race is an interesting point because these two teams, I think 16 years ago, Champions League final, you think of the Titans on display in that game. You think about these teams now and you sort of have a lot of young players that are willing to sort of carry the mantle on their shoulders of, I'm going to carry this franchise in your Garnacho, in your Cole Palmer. Mm-hmm. You have sort of what I call application monsters where people can question the ability, but application is going to be there. Mm. Your Wan-Bissakas, your Conor Gallagher's.
Yeah.
And then you have sort of what I'll call like players that you expect more from. And you're just watching, you're thinking, Casemiro, you've won Champions League.
Yeah, five! Five!
You should be used to this environment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But what was good about the game, I'd say from, I don't know, from Chelsea's point of view, it's interesting what you say, Mayowa, about you started to believe, because I'm thinking, Poch can work with these young players. This is what's meant to happen. Well, it's meant to see progress. It's meant to be a little bit tricky, but then they find it. But I wasn't seeing it, obviously, in a defensive, from a defensive point of view, but you could see something was happening with Chelsea last night to a certain extent. But then obviously, you know, when they started to lose, I'm thinking, where's the experience in this team? Who's going to get this team back? But Man United's frailties, bro. If I'm not going to jump to the, I'll jump to the last. The last goal said everything about Man United for me. I don't know if it's because Mason Mount came on, they didn't know, like you take him, but it's the last, it's literally last kick of the game, the most influential player. And he's that free. I'm feeling like, you remember the penalty? Mm-hmm. Remember with the penalty, how long that took?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Some that you've got, like you meant, you've got people like Harry Maguire, them guys should be able to be saying, guys, right, let's focus, let's concentrate. How long they had to take, they would take to take that penalty or make the decision. So as they could get themselves right, because right, we're going to be free if he scores. He doesn't look like he's missing at the moment, Cole Palmer. So then we just like go, bam, we're locking down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bro, it was like, it was, I don't know what to say about the players. I can't blame the manager for that. That's something the players
Manchester
should have been
United
dealing
were
with.
Were 1-0 up against Brentford, 95th minute, drop points. There are 1-0 up against Chelsea, 94th minute, drop points. Mm. In the 94th minute, you can see Erik ten Hag is going, keep the ball from the dugout. Now, the penalty, that's Diogo Dalot being skinned by Madueke, falling on his face, colliding with Madueke. He puts his head in his hands.
Yes.
He's looking at Maguire. Maguire sort of shaking his head. And you're going, okay, that's fine. This was an exhausting game. And if you got skinned by your winger and you trip up and give away a penalty, I can forgive this to an extent. This is unfortunate. It's unlucky, but fine. Now, the immediate kickoff afterwards, Dalot gets onto the ball and floods forward. Mm-hmm. And the ball eventually is lost for this corner kick. And I'm not sure if you've seen the image, but the corner kick, before it gets whipped in, Bruno Fernandes, front post, pointing at Cole Palmer. Mm-hmm. Diogo Dalot by the penalty area, pointing at Cole Palmer. Scott McTominay, looking at Cole Palmer. Mm-hmm. There's four players.
So they are aware.
All pointing at Cole Palmer, but no one goes over, leaves their zonal marking to go and mark Cole Palmer. Now, to me, that is a bunch of players, 95th, 96th minute, absolutely exhausted because they've been running up and down and up and down.
I think Mason Mount was the closest who came on, Carl.
Mm-hmm.
So this is why I'm saying where the confusion of him coming on and not knowing what his defensive responsibilities are, them getting a corner that late and him just getting back in the box and just saying, right, someone should have actually said to Mason, just fill that hole there. Because by the time he took the shot, Mason was nearly there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I don't want to blame Mason Mount because when he came on, I was genuinely wanted him to do something.
He had
the amount of booze
he got. Hard evening at Stamford Bridge. Yeah. So Chelsea go 2-0 up. Chelsea fans are charting Mason, lost the score. United go to 3-2. United fans are charting he left because you're. Now, when he does come on, booze, hisses every single time.
Enzo getting in his face.
Enzo got in his face. And I'm aware of how he left. To my view, outside looking in, it always looked as if Mount hoped to leave on good terms and hoped to be, when I come back, we can at least be civil.
Yes.
I was not ready for the amount of hatred that was there.
To the point where I said, I hope he scores.
Yeah, I was kind of prepared for it. And I think ultimately, as you mentioned, there was efforts from him to stay.
Mm.
He obviously didn't play a lot because of the injuries before he left. I think the video when he left as well, I think a lot of Chelsea fans were like, you're giving us a video, like, just, it looks like you rehearsed these lines. And I think there was a lot of sentiment to, well, you left us, you actually left, you went for higher terms, whatever, you went over that side, you're on that side now. Mm-hmm. In the words of Future, we don't trust you. Yeah. And I think the reason why it was so heightened is because, again, the Cole Palmer effect, you've lost one of your own, but you've gained this duel. And it's like, well, we've kind of managed to recover from that. But I think, as ever, with fans, we've seen the season, how they booed Raheem Sterling. Mm. Chelsea is such a state of flux where everything is just a hyperball. Mm-hmm. The Mason Mount sort of return should not have been as big as of a moment as it turned out to be.
But hurt them deep down. Maybe because of how long he's been there.
Yeah, no, definitely. 100% it hurts to lose a player. But I think with Chelsea, everything's a hyperball. Everything's always just like exaggerated to the 10th degree. Like, he came on for 5 minutes.
I know.
But to be fair, with that as well, Ten Hag substitution, taking off Garnacho, who's in the hat-trick,
wow,
been doing everything, to then do that, he's kind of brought, like, he, Ten Hag.
Wait a minute, wait, we got to explain. When he said Ten Hag taking off Garnacho, Carl Anker closed his eyes in disbelief.
Now,
it was one of those where you think to yourself, just quickly, let me just say, if you are under pressure now and you feel like, you know, I want to kind of like ease back and maybe manage it, he's the last person I'm taking off. Because if you are going to ease back and block it, he's the one you want out there who's going to run and score a goal like you could score in the first half.
But even, right, like, let's say you're cooking a meal, right? You're doing the taste test as you do. Mm. You think the meal's nearly done. What's the last thing you do? Turn the heat up, but add salt. Why would you bring a footballer that you know is going to get booed in this chaotic game,
yes,
when he doesn't need to come on?
Exactly.
Why would you add more fuel to the fire?
Add more
Someone
fuel.
That says that they don't want
it was
a tennis
perfect.
Match.
It tasted amazing.
Has done it.
Dropped a bunch of hot sauce in it.
Into WrestleMania.
Yeah, yeah.
You know something? It was very confusing for a start. I think that he done that.
The substitution of the whole game.
that substitution in itself, just for, because it's one of them substitutions where if you look at Garnacho's face, he was like, it was quizzical. It's like,
So Garnacho's played, he started the last 30 games for United. He is a teenager. He is young. Manchester United playing Liverpool on Sunday. You want Garnacho to start. And at 3-2, at that certain point, maybe Ten Hag went, maybe. Let's get Mount's legs on there. And Mount, you take away all the booing and the noise. And he had a couple of really nice touches. He was winning the ball in decent areas. And there's that. The issue is just everything else. Mm. Just this ridiculous game of football where everyone's swinging haymakers and trying knockout punches. Mm-hmm. And you go, you just need... Ian, when you were playing, if you weren't doing your job, who was the person in your ear to go?
Tony Adams.
Well,
Tony.
He'd say, what would he say? Stuff like, oi, switch off.
Focus.
Yeah.
Focus now. And it just snaps you back, snap you back.
I've seen this with Liverpool when people critique Jordan Henderson, but there were times where you could see Virgil wasn't paying attention and Jordan would be like, oi.
Finger to the head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's a very... It's not a skill that comes up on spreadsheets. It's not a skill that come up in all those graphics. That is a scout watches you for long enough. It has to be the right conditions. Do you have the nerve to not lose your head and also to look at someone when they're acting a bit funny and go, oi.
Yo, I can see it.
Back in the room. Mm-hmm. And at United, there's just no one.
There's no
but
one
Carl,
to do
this
that.
Is why
there's
for no me, one. It is so interesting because I watched Chelsea this season.
Chelsea ain't got it either.
And I look at a team that is... specifically gone for young talents, which is fine. But I also said, when you lose World Cup winners, Euros winners, Champions League winners, you lose a void of experience, of know-how, of being just XP, being within it. So Conor Gallagher is your captain. That's great. He understands the club. He understands what it means to play. But what he doesn't have to a certain extent is those lived experiences of playing football in these environments. Mm-hmm. There was a moment that happened for the penalty, where Nonny comes on, so happy for him, great dribble, instant impact, wins the penalty. Of course, he's thinking, I won it. He grabs
the ball.
There's almost like a melee on the pitch.
Wow.
And there's no one on the pitch that kind of goes, what the hell is going on here? Mm-hmm. Because there's not really anyone in the changing room, which to my point with Raheem Sterling, I always thought Raheem Sterling could be because he's been someone that's seen it and everything. Mm-hmm. Of course, he's not in that moment. And it's something that Chelsea probably need to address going forward because let's call a spade, the elephant in the room, Thiago Silva has been ostracized from this club. Okay. Ever since the tweet
the
from
mum,
Ben.
Yeah, the mum, yeah.
He's not starting. He's
the wife, sorry, the wife.
Yeah. So he's not the leader on the pitch anymore. You saw the two substitutions, the two defenders that came on. He doesn't come on. You bring Alfie Gilchrist and Trevor Chalobah. So there's not a real leader, father figure, mentor in our changing room. With United, there's a few people you look at and you think, you've probably seen enough in the game. It's more the application that's not there. And of course, it hurts when Varane comes off as a substitution. Mm-hmm. Johnny Evans comes on, then comes off.
Yes. Yep, Casemiro came off as well.
Casemiro comes off. The lack of application there is probably what hurts you guys more because you do have quote-unquote leaders.
Both of these teams need to be ringing up Diego Simeone and going, you got any... You got any players I can borrow? I just need one.
Have you got any henchmen?
I just need one Atletico Madrid henchman who can yell a bit, who knows how to make sure a throw-in takes an extra 30 seconds, who can take that tactical yellow card. Because, I mean, some of these counter-attacks, I was stood there going, someone, just take a yellow. Just take, just drop him.
Stop it, yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
You know, when you like with Mauricio Pochettino saying it should be the turning point now for the fans to trust the team, that for me, again, made me, while I was just doing enough in my head, I swiveled back. Whoosh, like, how are you supposed to trust the team? How can you trust that team? You know that they're capable. What we saw is that they're capable of coming back and winning and grasp, like in the last moment, obviously because of Cole Palmer went nuclear. We'll have to talk about him.
Yeah.
But like, he can't be saying things like that. So, you know, trust this team. You can't trust any of those teams. That's why it's such a great game.
With Pochettino, right, I think what's very difficult is Chelsea have one of the youngest squads in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at where Arsenal were when they had it and what they went through, they don't have that anymore. They've brought XP into the team. There's a bit of maturity. Like the sixth formers have come in with their suits and ties and said, we're going to strap up a little bit. Mm-hmm. Chelsea play like an under-21 side. If anyone watches youth football, you see the
last 20
flows.
Minutes of under-21s teams, midfield's gone. They're just pinging up and down.
That's how Chelsea play.
Wow.
And I think what Poch is trying to educate the board and the fans about at the same time, which is a very difficult thing, is there is only so much you can do when you have a team that are all like this. Ultimately, there's lived experience that they don't have. Even if they're better, technically, than the teams they play against, you can't disclaim man experience, grown experience. What's the saying? What the elder has seen in the valley, the younger cannot see from the mountains. Mm-hmm. It's that. Mm. There's certain things where I don't think Milo Gusto's ever probably played in a game like that before.
Yes.
Ian, when you were an away game and you had to stay in a hotel, what type of hotel room did you prefer? Were you a window one? What kind of room did you go for?
No, man. You know something? It's really strange. You asked a strange question, but... whichever one it was, I'd go in and darken the room.
Okay.
You know what I mean? But it didn't make any difference what it looked like in respects of size. I'd darken the room because it's literally a place of rest. You have the pre-match, you go in, it's a place of rest. You know what I used to do, actually? You just close the curtains, and especially at pre-season times when they was always playing that clay court tennis, it was nice to be able to go to sleep to. So I got into a mode of just making the room dark and bam. The room didn't even, it wouldn't matter if it was Buckingham Palace or a cupboard that could fit a bed because that never mattered to me. It's just the rest.
See, now that is knowledge you don't learn at 21 playing 100%. Football. Right? The 21-year-old, the 22-year-old football player who's just come through the academy does not realise when you're in a away game and you're staying over a hotel, switch all the lights off because you're in there to recover. Mm. They're 21, 22, testosterone, hormones, whatever. Like, buzzing, mate.
Man.
You go to sleep.
You're probably playing games or
this
something.
This is it. And you need that. You need to be 27. You need to be 28. You need that elder to go, away games, darken the room.
Mm-hmm.
You're there to rest and recuperate. And you don't realise that until you lose, right? You have that game where you sleep like rubbish and then you lose. You need that older person to go, this is what you need to do. And I think this is what you're seeing in the Chelsea. There's loads of soft skills that the coach can't teach you.
So what's the average age? 23, 24?
So the average age of Chelsea starting 11 yesterday was 23 and a half. And the average age of Manchester United was 26.1. Now, I don't know about you. I learned a lot of life lessons in those 3 years between 23 and 26.
Yes.
I learned a lot of, you know, started stretching, started drinking fewer shots. You know, I was out less, fewer shenanigans.
You do. I think people underestimate how important it is to have that experience in there. And this is why I'm very surprised. Even someone like Harry Maguire's got more than enough experience and played in games, real, like, high-intensity games with a lot on the line, where he should be able to start barking at a man. You stay there. You stay there. You come in, let's drop. He's got that. But I don't know if he's got the personality for... I get the impression that he might say something to Antony and Antony gives him that look, like, what are you talking? That kind of look, you know, he kisses his teeth at him, because I don't know if he's imposing enough. Because when you're looking at that team, somebody should be able to say, you there, you there, you, and they just go bam, bam, bam. That's what happens.
Maguire definitely was. Closed door football. I was an Old Trafford. I could hear, he used to say some, he was potty mouthed when he was yelling at Rashford. He was yelling at Fred. He was yelling at McTominay.
Was that prior to the captaincy being stripped?
This is prior to Cristiano Ronaldo's arrival. Mm. Yeah, and prior to the captaincy being stripped.
You think something's happened to, he's lost his power in there?
I think, for his own sake, he focuses more on his game. Mm. And we've seen, you know, he wins Player of the Month in November. He was defending deeper. He wasn't getting forward as much. Mm. And he's just like, I'm going to need to simplify myself. Mm. Look, Maguire still has that potty mouth. He's still pointing. He's still telling people what to do. He's still putting his head on more headers than anyone else. But you're right. Who is the person at United who goes, you need to do this, and people listen to it? Because Bruno Fernandes is the captain. He sets the tempo. But I have seen United players turn to Bruno and be like, mate, stop complaining. Mm. We know players have done that. I also think in the 96th minute of a game, everyone is knackered. Mm-hmm. Everyone's brain is, you're not checking your shoulders anymore. You're not the you know, you're not doing the two or three things that are basic. You're doing the first 30 seconds of a game. You do need just a mean guy behind you going, oi!
That's what
and,
you need.
Yeah, Simeone, can you help me?
do you know what this is a perfect segue to, though? Yeah. I think it's a nice segue to Cole Palmer. Mm-hmm. I looked at that football pitch, and if there was anyone that had that certain panache, je ne sais quoi, that sort of like killer instinct difference, it was him. There was a moment where he took a corner, and the United fans were singing City Reject.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I remember that.
And literally, he just went sicko mode after it for the next 15 minutes. The lead up to getting the penalty, he kept trying this reverse cute pass into the box.
He did.
Where he wanted to feed people in. And four or five times, people were on the same wavelength. No. So do you know what he started doing afterwards? He said, you know what? I'm going to do it myself. Yeah. So the second the ball goes out to him, I was like, I know what's happened. I actually did not see the ball touch the net. I saw him shoot. Mm-hmm. Next thing you know, I put someone in a headlock. Because I was like, I knew. And that's what the top players do. Mm-hmm. It's why you pay big money for star players, because they have that ability about them. And with all of Chelsea's recruitment, they stumbled upon Cole Palmer. Yeah. That's the truth about it. It was kind of like, I know him from before. Let's go him.
I don't think that's a stumble. That's Joe Shields. Yeah. Going.
But it was, remember, with all of the different directors we had, they were like, you know, well, I'm taking three from here. And he goes, well, I'm taking my three from here. Yeah, it wasn't like we need Cole Palmer.
Pochettino made it quite clear that he didn't go out to get him. It was Palmer was more or less presented to him.
Yep.
Mm. And now he's the centrepiece.
He is the centrepiece.
Yes, absolutely is the centrepiece. And like you say there, Mayo, where you just see there was a time where when it went to 3-2, he's starting to eat. You're thinking, right, where's Cole? Is he too wide? Get involved more. Just went to another. You just saw him at that stage of the game, just getting on the ball more. Things just kept happening. And like you said, he's trying to pass it through those little gaps, trying to make it happen. You know, I think there was one where he'd done a beautiful little reverse and Raheem wasn't on the right wavelength. You're thinking, again, Raheem should be that kind of person who knows at this stage. Yeah, that's what he's going to do. That's the kind of player Cole Palmer is. But like, I just love the way he took the game over. He took the game over because he is a match winner. And it was just his quality. I don't remember... You watch him play. I don't remember him giving it away or playing it badly. There was one where they took a kind of a short free kick over the left-hand side. And you see the difference in quality because Cucurella got the ball and played it behind him, just in and around the box. And that's the difference. That's the difference with the quality players. They don't get it wrong at that stage of the game and play it back there. And he's just lucky that someone like Cole Palmer's able to retrieve and get it going again. But the point I'm making with him in the way he is, is that when we look at it, yes, he is the guy that is better than the rest.
I don't know how long it'll take for Chelsea to be top 4, top 5, top 2 team again. it seems very, very clear that when they do, Cole Palmer will be in the squad. He'll be a starter.
Without a doubt. That man's, the way he's playing, he's got a different style to him. And obviously we're looking at Phil Foden just killing it. Phil Foden the other day was, I remember that basketball game he used to play where if you took enough shots, the ball just catches fire and you just keep...
NBA Jam.
NBA Jam. I think that's him at the moment. He's playing NBA Jam with the football. both of them. It's going to be interesting to see how them two for the years to come, especially with England and what they're capable of, how that one pans out. Because we have got two, arguably, the best two left-footed players, creative players, who have both now realised, man, it's goals for me. That's Phil Foden. I want goals. Cole Palmer, I want to score goals. I cannot wait to see how it pans out for them too, man. We've got some exciting times coming. Had United come out of this really big picture vibe, you know, because I don't know how I felt. I was happy for Mason. Then I was really gutted for Mason. I was gutted for the whole lot because you could see how happy Ten Hag was when they were, especially when they were 2-0. You see his face change at 2-1. Then you just started seeing faces. His face was happy again at 3, obviously. But what now, bro? What's the big picture?
I couldn't tell you, honestly. Ten Hag did not seem happy in that post-match press conference. He said they didn't get the game over the line, which I thought was interesting. He was talking about game management. You're 3-2. Someone needs to put their foot on the ball. This is a team that wants to play transition-heavy football. They want to be chaotic. They want to win the ball high up the field. They want to constantly sustain pressure and attack you in myriad ways. They want to play a lot like United when it was Rooney, Tevez and Ronaldo. Mm-hmm. But they don't have the physical capacity to play at that pace for 95 minutes. They don't have the technical ability to make those sort of quick one-touch passes for 95 minutes. They also don't have the soft stuff, right? The make your hotel room dark. They don't have that presence of mind and the calmness at 3-2 to go, let's just close this out. Mm. So you've got a team that is playing a style of football that is very, very chaotic. It's by design. Mm. Ten Hag's been asked multiple times, are you concerned by the fact that every team is having 15 shots against you? And he's going, well, no, as long as we get results, it's fine. Mayo has just closed his eyes because he wants to say, well, then say it.
12 losses.
They're not getting the results, are they?
Exactly.
It's scary.
12 losses in the league, 17 losses this season altogether. This is the most defeats since 89-90 with Sir Alex Ferguson. This is a bad Manchester United season. And it's Liverpool on Sunday. Mm. And Liverpool are going to have 15 shots because that's just how Manchester United play now.
Yeah.
But Manchester United are going to play in a way going, well, you can have 15. We're going to make sure we're going to have at least 12. And we'll see what happens. All of these games now are going to be a shootout. And it's just who can hold their nerve. I can't anymore watching this. This is why I've shaved the sides of my head off. Because they're going grey. The only things guaranteed about this Manchester United team right now is Bruno Fernandes will play and the opposition are going to get 15 shots. I can't tell you if the game's going to be good. I can't tell you if it's going to be bad. I can't tell you if United are going to score 2 or concede 2. All I know is Fernandes is starting and the opposition's going to have 15 shots.
So can I just say
one thing?
Go on, Mia.
With United, and I don't want to take it back too far, but obviously when a place where there's post-Fergie, there's been different eras, right? And I remember when Rashford came into the team, young player, thrown into it, you've got to make it happen. Garnacho, similar thing now. Kobe Mainoo, similar thing now. There's never really been like a sustained philosophy of what we want to do, how we want to do it, how we want to apply ourselves. And I always look at the young players in the Manchester United setup and I think to myself, if there's no soft skills and no leadership or no sort of like facility for you to be in, how likely is it for you to pick up really bad habits? Easy. And I look at players and the new one I'm looking at is Kobe Mainoo because he is a superb footballer.
Yeah,
he is the one adult in the room. You can tell that if he was raised abroad, he would have gone to university early because he's just that intelligent.
At 12.
Exactly.
Go to Oxford and all them business.
But then when you put someone like that in an environment where this person likes to go out a lot and this person likes to game a lot and this person thinks that education is not important, it becomes very easy to start looking at someone and be like, well, what if the great things that you're great about get compromised? Mm-hmm. Like, how is Kobe Mainoo supposed to play this nice, possession-based football, intricate touches when every single pass he plays, someone's fumbling or turning over. Mm. And then he's turned into this sort of machine that just has to recover. Like Carl, you said, everyone else in midfield is gone and he's just standing there like Will Smith in Uncle Phil's house. Like, where did everyone go? Yes. And it's one of the things I really worry about with United, because Garnacho, again, amazing application, does so much well. But how is a player like that supposed to develop in such a chaotic environment? And let's call it for what it is. United's young players are the future of the club. I remember the infamous picture of Hoyland and the youngsters, right, sitting down.
Garnacho, yeah.
Yeah, everyone's like, this is our United. But you can only be as good as the path and example that's set before you. And I don't think that the manager or the environment at the moment is sitting in the place that they can grow from.
You know something? I think that it's very important what happens in the summer with him. I'm not sure if in winning the FA Cup and let's take something miraculous happens and they get into top four, is that enough? Because from what you need to see from a team, from a structure point of view, with those players, and those players you mentioned, with Mainoo, with Garnacho, especially when you look at their capability, with a captain like Fernandes, who is, whatever we say, is an unbelievable player. That team needs some structure. And for me, you look at Colby Mainoo, goes to England, played with structure, he's mad at a match. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's a good point you make about like the habits of what's going on. It's getting harder and harder for him to be who he is and out the natural footballer that he is to come out, because he's going to start, like you're saying, chasing back defensively. He's going to lose that side of his game the longer he stays somewhere like that with no structure.
Carl, if Man United turn Kobbie Mainoo for England into Pogba for France, I will never forgive you.
Oh no. Oh no.
I don't want to go home.
It's so. You're completely right. Let's take a player like Luke Shaw. Hmm. Luke Shaw was signed under Louis van Gaal and has been at Manchester United now for 9 seasons. Hmm. So he's played possession-based football under Louis van Gaal. Loads of diagonals to the fullback. Loads of... you use possession as a defensive tool. Then he started playing under Jose Mourinho. Mourinho didn't really care for pressing. It was very much about defensive solidity and more or less the 2 or 3 attacking players were allowed a lot of attacking freedom to sort that out. And Mourinho also, you know, didn't seem to care much for Luke Shaw. Then Ole Gunnar Solskjaer comes in. Mm. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer goes, we're gonna play a more aggressive game. We're going to try and win the ball higher up the field. Sure, your overlaps with Rashford's going to be really, really important. Can you get up the field more a bit? Mm-hmm. And now you've got Erik ten Hag. And Erik ten Hag wants to do a transition-based style. So he wants Ole Gunnar Solskjaer style of football cranked up a little bit even more. And he's like, Luke, not only do I want you to overlap, but also can you stay up front? Can you stay up in the final third? And can you win the ball high up the field? So Shaw's got, across 9 years of football and multiple injuries and multiple different managers who all want to play slightly different things from their fullback and have all bought slightly different football players that Shaw's had to play with. So going from playing next to Victor Lindelof to playing next to Harry Maguire to playing next to Raphael Varane, if you're Shaw, you've also still got weaknesses to your game. There are still 2 or 3 things that he hasn't necessarily improved on in the last 4 or 5 years, because he's just had to focus. I've just got to focus on things I'm good at. Mm. And you look at Aaron Wan-Bissaka. We know how good Aaron Wan-Bissaka is in the 1v1. We also know there's a couple of reasons why Gareth Southgate doesn't really think he's in the right back picture for England, because he needs to work on those things. Now, if you're Wan-Bissaka, when do you have time to work on that? Because you have to make 1v1 tackles week in, week out, because that is the most important thing for Manchester United. And it's that really difficult glass ceiling or curve on your development, and you do need greater complementary pieces in that starting lineup. If your goalkeeper wants to be comfortable and come out and sweep a keep, then your centre backs need to be comfortable playing in a higher line. If your centre backs want to be comfortable playing in a higher line, then your fullbacks need to be in a certain way. If your fullbacks are in a certain way, then your wingers need to complement the way the fullbacks play. It shouldn't be beyond one of the richest football teams in the world. And yet it has, because recruitment's been a mishmash. Mm. That squad is Frankenstein's monster, patchwork quilt. So Ineos, who are coming in this summer, and you know, confirmed minority investors, they understand this is going to take time. And everything we've heard and everything we've seen, we're reporting over The Athletic about, is they're recruiting top down. So it's Berarda. Mm. Then it's
possibly Ashworth, then it's possibly Willocks from Southampton. And eventually you go top down, you'll go, this person does this and this person does this and this person does this, and this is the style of play. And then you go, does the manager fit?
All the noises we're hearing so far is they would prefer not to have to make a decision on the manager this summer.
So if they, so no FA Cup, no top four, did you still think that, that he'll be there?
I can't tell you in all confidence, because also the way Manchester United are playing with this frantic ping, 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 you can have a nut, you, there is a, there's a scenario where the tennis matches, you win enough of those tennis matches in an encouraging way and people go, you know what, that's fine, get a couple of players fit, we'll persist with this. There's the other version where you do get another penalty, you do get another 96th minute winner, and you might, and Ineos might go, maybe not. But at this point in time, Friday morning, it seems as if Ineos doesn't have a huge appetite to make a move on the manager yet, because they want to sort out two, loads of roles in and around him first.
You know what? Just a thingy on that. Man United, whatever's happening, you're not winning and sustaining league challenges and playing football like that. You know, they have to, something's got to change. They've got to be more managing the ball in midfield with the players they've got. You're not winning anything playing football like that. Chelsea, I'm sorry, the same. So thanks for the game. Thank you both as a neutral. It was amazing.
They've got Liverpool next.
And they got Liverpool next. And you know what? Liverpool in that mode where I just feel like that they're there. They're the ones that
they're locked
we
in.
Shall not. We yes. shall not be missed.
Honestly, they are there. I cannot see them losing at Anfield for a start. I can't see them losing. Even when they went a goal down, yeah, I just, it doesn't matter. They're not losing there.
Something that's really, the really fun part of this start, this
is Juju
of the end of the season, is when there's always one or two players in a title run who just go up another level. Now, Gundogan,
yes.
title running Gundogan at Man City was
spooky.
That's a scary, that's a bad MF. And we're seeing a similar version with this Liverpool team. I didn't know Alexis had this extra stuff in his bag.
Bro, Jesus. Unbelievable. He's come through.
He's gone supernova.
Yeah.
Endo coming into defensive midfield has freed Alexis from a lot of defensive responsibilities. And now he's taking it upon himself to take over games in a way that we knew he might be able to do.
You know,
he's so comfy. Yeah. He's so comfy.
When we saw him at Brighton and you saw them games, you could see, he's got more levels. And then when he went to the World Cup, and it's all of a sudden people were like, oh, it's McAllister from Brighton, you know?
Yeah.
That's how they were called. But when he came back to Liverpool and now he's settled in, because Endo, I think, makes a massive difference to that, because he's playing well now. Endo, I didn't even realise when I was reading up, he's done so much. Mm-hmm. Endo, 30 years old. He's like, come in, bam, you know? Boots and plays, ready to go.
Back to the whole thing about 30-year-old. He knows when to sleep. He knows everything.
Yes. It's like, but like, you look at McAllister now. This is the best I've seen him. And I know that there's games, he's doing it at Liverpool, he gets more notice. But at Brighton, you saw these games, and maybe he played games like this at Brighton. But we're talking about someone now with his experience. He's coming to the fore when his team needs him the most, coming up with match-winning performances from that position. He's probably going to be one of those, his name will be amongst the player of the season, depending on who wins the league. But he's transformed at 35 million. We have to say that. We're just talking about, we have to talk about Chelsea's midfield. 35 million McAllister cost.
You got to think about what his fellow countryman went for. You got to think about what his fellow teammate went for.
Yes. Those two guys playing next to him.
Yeah, and think about what he went for. And
it's amazing.
You mentioned about Endo playing six. There's part of the season where McAllister did that. No matter where he's been in that midfield, his application has been second to none. And I made a point recently where the reason why I love this so much is because no matter what happens when Klopp leaves, this has almost been like a regrouping of his side again. And I remember when he tried this, and everyone seems to forget, Naby Keita was supposed to be his man. He's never fit. Thiago Alcantara was his man, gave him everything. And everyone was like, this is a different Klopp side. It's not an energy room anymore. Was never fit. McAllister's finally been the centre midfielder that's allowed Klopp to move away from rock and roll and add like a drum snare or something, switch it up a little bit. And like these finishes that we're seeing, my word.
That was beautiful, that one.
So I wasn't familiar with your game. Like.
Strikes it so it's pure. So good.
It's going to be exciting, but bro, again, just before we wrap, I fear for United against Liverpool. Carl, you cannot, a team like Liverpool going for what they're going for now, manager leave everything what's in Liverpool's like armory to go and make sure that they're ready for a game. We're not going to see that FA Cup business, Man United, what they've done in the
FA
Cup.
You don't think so?
You know something? I just feel that Liverpool will be much more focused and they're going to be even more ruthless. We know that Man United can be ruthless. Garnacho being there alone is going to be a problem for anyone. But I just feel that this stage of the season, Liverpool know they're coming and we're going to put them in their place, whatever it takes. I'm worried for United because as much as they can score, I could see another big hide, getting another good hiding. I could see it.
At Old Trafford?
I don't know, bro. I've seen them getting hiding at Old Trafford. It's not like, you know what I mean? It's a fortress. I've seen them get hiding at Old Trafford. And some of the times I've seen not so many goals and they've still got a hiding. If Liverpool come ready and they've got their heads in this, it could be a massive worry for them.
If Liverpool try and play United at Man United's game, you could have that tennis match ding dong. You Liverpool go, we're not going to swing haymakers. We're just going to put you in a headlock.
Yes.
So this is
full Nelson.
Can even when they're tapping, you just keep going.
Liverpool have to be the sensible adults away from home against their biggest rival in England. And I think United's best chance is to basically bait Liverpool
into
doing something silly.
Yeah,
it's possible. We've seen it in the FA Cup game. Can you bait them into the same trap twice?
Interest. This is what we wait and see. We'll find out. But listen, Carl Anker, man, I'm so pleased to see you. I haven't seen you for a while. You look cool. Look how cool you look.
Thank you.
I love you, man.
I love you too.
Listen, Mayowa. Mayowa Quadri.
Love
you. Feel good,
man.
Do you feel good today, though? It's a nice day for you.
I feel good, but I feel drained.
I'm exhausted.
I'm feel drained.
Exhausted. Nice one, man. Listen, we'll see you again. We'll see you next week. Just got to shout out the Lionesses tonight against Sweden at Wembley. I'm going to do that. Looking forward to that. Going to see what Serena does tonight. Quite interesting to see who's going to play tonight, who she's going to give a shout out to. So we'll see how that goes. All the best to the Lionesses tonight. Thank you very much, Carl Anker. Thank you very much to Mayor Quadri. We'll be back on Tuesday. It's going to be up later on Tuesday because me and Ryan, we're going to be doing it from the car after the Bayern game. And people quite like that. So we're going to give you that again. So we'll see you then, man. Take it easy.